Welcome to The Follow-Up. This is the place where we explore questions you've submitted after Sunday's sermon. Maybe it's something that left you curious, confused, or inspired. We'll talk through it together. Ready? Let's get to The Follow-Up.
Hey everyone, welcome back to The Follow-Up. Pastor Crystal here.
And Pastor Sean over here.
How are you doing?
Doing great. I got a little bit of coffee left in my mug. I'm using my Life Community Yeti mug that was gifted to me.
So, nice.
You know, it's always nice when I get to use that.
Yeah.
Very little coffee that was left over this morning in the pot. What do you got in that very large container over there?
Just water with some lime.
Perfect. You got it. It's very nicely decorated with some cool stickers.
Thank
now.
You.
I'm a little bit jealous of that.
Yep.
Mine does not. Mine is beat up now.
Yeah.
So. Sorry, I know this is an audio podcast and not a video podcast. And so,
yep. That's a good thing.
To those that cannot see.
Well, here we are.
Yeah.
We're back for another week of follow-up. We're just taking time each week to dive a little bit deeper into Sunday's message and wrestling with some of the questions that you guys had that maybe came up after listening. And we are wrapping up our crazy Christian series. It's been a challenging one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
interesting
been good.
The timing of it. I think we maybe talked about it last time, but or at least we did on Sunday. You know, just that we had planned the series in advance, and it just, you know, as the Holy Spirit would have it, just happened to coincide with a number of just things happening in society. And so, we've always been wanted to be a church that talked about hard things, and not just when the hard things are happening, but consistently, right? And So I think we continue to learn how to do that. And a couple of times in this series, tried to talk about just challenging things and challenging topics to live out, the Jesus way, right?
Yeah.
To learn to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, do what Jesus did, means that we have to consider all of the things.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah,
it's so a good it's, one. Yeah,
I'm glad it's done.
We made it. Yeah, this final week we looked at what it means to confess that Jesus is Lord and how that confession really shapes our ultimate allegiance and our politics and even the way that we live within community. Mm-hmm. So we had some really thoughtful questions come in.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to unpack them and just hang on for the ride here. So,
yeah.
Ready for the first one?
What we say and do cannot be held against us.
Oh, the new disclaimer, new podcast disclaimer.
No, it's good. And I love that we try to say it's a question and a response.
Yeah.
It's not an answer. You know, I think some of these, they're just challenging, right?
Yeah.
So to say that, well, this is the way it is to really, I think, diminish the weight of some of the things that we have to wrestle with in life and in our world and what it means to follow Jesus. And I wish it was so like binary, so black and white, but it's just not. Right. And so I think just recognizing that as we jump in, we're just trying to wrestle through these things the best we know how. You may ask me a year from now, are you a year from now? And I'm like, I have a little bit of a different answer at this point. And I think that's wisdom, right? Like we grow and we learn. And so, anyway.
Right. And you might disagree with us.
Yeah.
And that's okay
too. That's okay too.
The first question comes from the sermon. You talked about how when we confess that Jesus is Lord, it's when we say that, it's to publicly embody a way of life that heralds a coming kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is, how do we explain to people who believe that the coming kingdom is the USA, that somehow America is the tool of Jesus to bring the kingdom to the world? Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. I mean, I guess probably as I think through that question, I probably try not to get hung up on certain things, right? So the idea that somebody would say that the USA is the tool that Jesus is using to bring about his kingdom. I think there's a lot of theological implications to a statement like that. And again, our scripture practice or our practice for the series has been scripture.
Yeah.
And so if if you know the scripture, you would clearly see that that God uses all sorts of kingdoms and all sorts of, you know, uses a donkey, right? At one point, it doesn't mean the donkey is somehow God's holy chosen instrument,
right?
Jesus is God's, you know, it's all coming through Jesus. He doesn't need any help. And so, can God use a country? Of course. Mm-hmm. Like, can there be good things that God brings about through the, you know, the political systems and leaders? Of course. Like, there's an argument to be made through the scriptures that, you know, God puts leaders in place. Mm-hmm. The authority has been given to them when Jesus is in front of Pilate, right? Like, he says, like, hey, the only authority you have is because I granted it to you,
right?
You know? And so, so I think remembering that, yeah, God might use, but it doesn't mean that God has that thing has been somehow set apart as right and good.
Right.
Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, like, those countries were used, but there's just as much scripture talking about the judgment that's coming upon those countries as there is in the fact that God used them for his purposes. And so I just think we have to be really careful when we say, well, God is going to use the USA to bring about his kingdom. There might be things that God is doing the things that we, you know, in our best day, you know, in terms of true freedom and, you know, like, spaces for everybody and all those things that are maybe a dim reflection of what we'd hope a kingdom would look like. But they're flawed, just like every kingdom is. And so I think it's okay to acknowledge that, yeah, God might use, you know, us and use America just as, like, God might use any other kingdom in this world. But every kingdom of this world is at its core opposed to the kingdom of God.
Right.
And so you can't have a kingdom divided against itself, as the scripture says. And so ultimately, I think that idea is really dangerous to perpetuate because of that piece of it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. Can I add something to that?
I just think you forget about the rest of the world when you think it was just about us. Like, God's moving in all countries around the world, and we get really tunnel vision and thinking, like, what's happening here is all that's happening. Mm-hmm. And we forget that actually the church is making huge moves in other countries. Like, we're seeing massive growth in, you know, Asia and Africa. Mm-hmm. I just think it feels a little bit self-centered to think, oh, it's all about us. And God uses everybody, can use everybody.
Yeah.
And we're a part of that. And, you know, the kingdom that Jesus talks about isn't a political nation. It's the reign of God breaking into every heart, every community, every nation. And so it's just bigger than us. It can include us. We say that a lot, but it is not just about us.
Yeah. Yeah. This whole idea of American exceptionalism, right? And that somehow the way we do it is better than everybody else.
Yeah.
Right. And there are a lot of things that, like, that's why people want to come and move here. Right. Like, so, I mean, that's, I love, like, there's pieces of our country that I'm really grateful for.
Right.
And, this was, again, like, look at the scripture, right? This was the same issue, of Judaism, right? This Jewish exceptionalism that, you know, this is like the whole, like, conflict between Jews and Samaritans, right? Like, oh, you can't do that over there. Like, you have to do it here. And so we see this play out in the scripture, right? If you read between the lines, that in their own kind of exceptionalism, they missed, you know, the bigger picture of what God was doing. And this is why Jesus got so much flack, like, for going to the Gentiles initially. Even at the beginning of the New Testament, right? It's like, what are you guys doing going to the Gentiles? Like, this is all just about us. And so I think we see a good example of what it looks like to maybe be proud is maybe not the right word, but have, like, a space of respect and honor in our hearts for, you know, like the Jews did, like, for their tradition,
right?
But not so much so that they miss the bigger picture, right? That I place this on the same, we talked about it on Sunday, like, Jesus plus. I think that's maybe one of the questions coming up, but like, whenever we do that, we've already gotten the trajectory off at that point, and we will miss it And so,
yeah,
I think again, the scripture has something to teach us.
Yeah. And I also just think, like, I don't see anywhere in scripture where it talks about the coming kingdom is a specific country. Mm-hmm. Wait, that's just not, that's not in there. So
yeah.
But okay. Question. Question number two kind of takes that same idea of allegiance a little bit further. So the question is, if our confession that Jesus is Lord is a confession of singular allegiance, which we talked about on Sunday, mm-hmm. is it appropriate for Christians to pledge allegiance to the flag?
Ooh, somebody got brave.
Right?
Call us out here.
This is good. Go for it. Pastor Sean,
you want me to take
you first. Question? You go first.
Okay. So I think a question like this is important to consider for every believer. I think I would stop short on saying that there is like a way or a law mm-hmm. that you should, that being a Christian then dictates how you respond to something like that. So I'll say that, and then I'll give you like where I've landed on that.
Okay.
As me personally.
Yep.
So this is not like a mandate, I think, for anybody else, but this is like how I kind of settle in my own conscience. So like if we go to a football game, go to a Beaver game, who goes to Beaver games
anymore? Hey.
I'm sorry.
You're talking about one sport.
I know.
There's way more sports. Volleyball team's killing it right now.
Okay. And baseball is always. So sorry. We digress. But, you know, whenever we do the, the national anthem or whatever mm-hmm. at a game or if we're happen to be somewhere, you know, that they are doing a Pledge of Allegiance, right? So I have no problem standing. I have no problem removing my hat. I have no problem, facing the flag, mm-hmm. where it is. But the one thing I just don't do, and it's just for me, is I don't put my hand over my heart, because my heart belongs to Jesus alone. And so, I have a hard time saying I pledge allegiance to just, and it may be some of the words,
right.
you know, just the fact that, and so, but I have no problems honoring our country and honoring those who fought to give us our freedoms and all those things. And so there is a very, I think, an honest honoring in my heart for what we could be, what we've been, what we could be. And so I have no problems like honoring that. I cannot put my hand over my heart.
Yeah.
I have no judgment for anybody right. else that does, right? Like, hey, like whatever is, but just for me, that's just a way that I can continue to hold my allegiance to Christ alone, because there will come a day, and there has been, mm-hmm. right, where I can't stand for what our country maybe stands for. Right. And I can't be so intertwined with it that I can no longer speak against
yeah.
it, right? And so I talked Sunday a little bit about like, you know, if we fit too nicely into the political systems of our world, there's probably something wrong,
right?
Because we belong to the kingdom of God. And so it should feel like, you know, this square peg in a round hole, like it just should be uncomfortable all the time.
Yeah.
And so I think that's just one way where, like, again, simple, and it matters to some, it doesn't matter to others.
Yeah.
But I think it's one of those things, it's like, hey, like, if that's meaningful for you to stand and put your hand over your heart, like, I don't think there's like a somehow like you no longer love Jesus or
right.
you know, committed to his kingdom, like whatever. I just think it's important to consider. And in some ways, maybe it helps you to remember that, no, like as crazy as it gets and as strong as you talked about this in your sermon, as strong as my convictions are, I belong to Jesus and his kingdom. And so for me, that's just, I don't put my hand over my heart.
Yeah.
And so stand up, remove my hat, be respectful, be honorable, you know, all those things. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, sing the national anthem, you know, go for it. Right.
Yeah.
But I just can't do that part. So.
Yeah. I'm the same way. And it was a recent, probably within the last 5-6 years, kind of conviction that I had that just the same thing, like, what am I really pledging allegiance to? And where is my heart? And I think that's the key, right? What's happening in our hearts. And so I do the same thing, stand, sing, honor, so grateful. It's utmost respect, especially for, you know, the people that have gone before us mm-hmm. and currently help to provide many of the freedoms that we have. But also, I just can't put my hand over my heart. Like, my heart belongs to mm-hmm. to Jesus, and our highest loyalty belongs to Christ, and every other allegiance has to sit under that one.
Yeah.
And so I do the same thing. I just don't, but I also don't look around thinking, oh, look, all these people
right.
like, crossing their hearts. They are just blinded to whatever. I don't feel that, because my conviction comes under my confession. Mm. And so that's, yeah, just a personal thing. And so I think for people, maybe it's a good question to consider mm-hmm. for themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, if that's not something that, you know, resonates with you, or maybe it's something to dig a little deeper into mm-hmm. and just ask the question, you know, what am I saying? What is my heart saying? Where do I land on this, and wrestle with it, and know that you might not land where somebody else lands, and that's okay too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great question. I mean, we could probably talk about it for a long yeah. time. Yeah, I guess one last thing before we move to the next one. Yeah, I just don't know. Like, I can't imagine, like, first century Christians giving a pledge of allegiance to Rome.
Right.
Right. And so some of that is just like, you know, again, different contexts. Like, I understand all that. But it just, when I try to like put it into other contexts, it just doesn't jive. Right. Yeah. And so anyway. Yeah, we don't need to belabor this one.
Yeah.
Next, let's move, keep moving on.
Right. This is the last question. It kind of brings it all together in a practical way. So in light of the reality that our confession that Jesus is Lord is one of singular allegiance, how are we as Christians supposed to participate in a democratic society? This is things like voting, serving in the military, running for, or holding political office. How do we engage in those spaces faithfully? And are there certain limitations or parameters we should consider? I think you did talk a little bit about this in the sermon in mm-hmm. terms of like being involved and mm-hmm. and getting involved in things and being, you know, like you talked about how the early Christians found a way mm-hmm. to fit, you know, to be in that system, but not be, you know, not have their heart swayed. So maybe right. just unpack that a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, Romans talks about this a little bit in like Romans 13, I think, just off the top of my head, about like how Paul kind of addresses how, you know, those early Christians should act as citizens. Yeah, we are citizens. And so we have a responsibility to one another to, you know, to vote and yeah. to be engaged and, you know, pay taxes, right? Like Jesus said, I think we was in our Bible reading this morning. Yeah. You know, Jesus says, you know, with the coin, like, hey, whose face is on this coin? And like, we'll give to Caesar's what is Caesar's, right? And so, like, I think there's a responsibility that we have, that we would be, again, my opinion, that we would be remiss to neglect.
Right.
Now, I know there are some that would probably, you know, swing way to the other side of just like, hey, we have no part in it. I don't necessarily see that. I think we have a responsibility. But that the kind of flip side for me is that you, again, it goes back to scripture. You cannot legislate people's way into the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Israel tried.
Yep.
It doesn't work that way. And so we understand that while we have a responsibility to be engaged with all the things, I can never legislate the kingdom of God. We can legislate a better society for all people,
right.
and work for the good of people. And, you know, where we probably find a lot of wrestle in our culture is like we have different ideas of what's good for each other, right? Yeah. And so obviously, you know, some of the things that we would say as Jesus followers come from the scriptures, right? And so it can get us into kind of sticky places when it comes to kind of the bigger picture of what is good for the whole of society and what we try to mandate and what we don't try to mandate and all those things.
Yeah.
So I think my answer would be, yeah, participate. The deeper you get into it, the more difficult I think it is to maintain your allegiance.
Yeah.
And I think that's the seduction of politics in any country, right, and any culture, is that ultimately has to do with power and Jesus is the only one who's ever been able to wield that power and not let it corrupt him.
Yeah.
Just it, right? And when Satan tempted him with political power, he rejected it. And so, you know, somebody once read somebody long time ago that was basically, can a Christian actually hold public office? Mm. Right. And it was just an interesting question just because of what's often involved in that. And, you know, I would say yes, but like, it's the challenge of what that entails. And so, yeah. So like, I would say yes, like it's a matter of conscience. You know, I have, you know, when I was in student ministry, I have students that, you know, were in the military, and, you know, for some it was good experience, for some it was a horrific experience. And so, you know, I think, that's a challenge.
Yeah.
Again, I think there's examples out there of Christians who, you know, have, you know, taken vows of nonviolence, right? And so they don't serve in the military, maybe in a specific way.
Yeah.
Those are questions I think we have to try to wrestle down, not to get a, like, it's always yes, it's always right. No. But like, how do I do this and maintain my allegiance? And we said in the sermon, like, my sole political responsibility is to be a herald of the coming kingdom. Like, that is, as an ambassador of Christ, I herald his coming kingdom. And so how do I answer that question in any sort of civic duty that I might be a part of? That may be a good filter. Like, can I do this in this way without feeling like it becomes a mandate for every single citizen, right? And that's, again, that's part of the strong pushback on maybe this Christian nationalism mm-hmm. that is out there. It's this attempt to mandate Christianity for the whole of society, and that doesn't work.
Nope.
And so you can't legislate the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
That's not how it comes about. It comes about through Christ and his spirit.
Right.
And that's it.
Right.
And so anyway, I think that's how I would probably go to answer that question. You know, how do we engage those spaces faithfully? Are there limitations, parameters? Yeah. And I think remembering, like, we are ambassadors of Christ Jesus. Therefore, my political responsibility is to be a herald of his coming kingdom.
Yeah.
And begin to work towards what that looks like in terms of reconciliation and all those things.
Yeah.
So, you got something you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think, you know, if we're going to engage those spaces faithfully, then we do that by bringing the values of his kingdom into every space that we're at. So whether that's, you know, we're voting, we're serving, we're leading, or just simply loving our neighbor, like, faithfully bringing in his kingdom to those spaces and living out that confession that Jesus is Lord into every space. I don't think we even see in scripture examples of, you know, his followers just completely removing themselves mm-hmm. from everything. Like, they still had to pay taxes and mm-hmm. they still had to, you know, figure out how to do life within the system that they were in, but yet they were uniquely set apart in the fact that they pointed people to the coming kingdom.
Yeah.
And that's our job too.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just, again, it's nuanced and it's going to be maybe different for each individual. If somebody feels like they're called to enter that space mm-hmm. as a form of, you know, almost ministry, like, this is a space I feel God calling me to. Yeah, that's going to be a tough path, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean that it's impossible. It just mm-hmm. means a whole lot of, you know, checking in with your spirit and what's going on with your confession mm-hmm. and are your convictions, you know, it's a wrestle, but I don't think it's impossible. But I also don't think we're meant to withdraw from the world.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I think it's just really hard. That oftentimes I think what we see today is you get Christians get so invested in it that they end up having to defend non-Christian behavior,
right,
or non-Christian ideology, because they're so deep into it.
Yeah.
And so the only way now that I can rationalize my, frankly, allegiance, mm-hmm. is to rationalize what is irrational when it comes to Christ and the scriptures.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're probably in too deep when you're finding yourself defending what you know is ultimately not right. Christ for whatever reason. And so I think we just have to be really honest, like, about like where our hearts are in that thing. And story in the scripture real quickly of, and I always mix up where this lands with Elijah or Elisha.
Easy to do.
Right. It's when Naaman comes over from Syria and asks for healing. And I think it was Elijah. And he's like, hey, you know, go dip yourself in the river seven times and you'll be healed. Right. And he doesn't want to do that, but he ultimately does it and has his life changed. Right. And the scripture indicates that he becomes a God-fearer, which is somebody who worships Yahweh. Right. And then he asks Elijah and he says, hey, I have to go back to my boss, my emperor or whoever he is, the king. And he is a pagan worshiper. And I'm part of my job is to basically hold his hand as he goes into the pagan temple to worship. And he's, and so this guy realizes immediately, like, I've got a problem now. And so his solution is like, hey, can I take some sand from Israel? And when I go in to hold my boss's hand, when he goes to worship, can I put that sand on the ground and stand on it?
Yeah.
Right. There's this like, so it's kind of a fun story, but just this like, hey, I have to do this thing. I have to live in this world that is not who I am anymore. How do I do that? And for him, right, it was a little bit of sand from Israel. So like realizing that, hey, I am not, my heart is not doing this thing. Like I have to participate in this thing, but my heart is here. I just think it's a good like example of like, hey, sometimes we have to live and operate in a world of brokenness and things that would be contrary to our heart's allegiance and our heart's desire. How do we navigate those things in such a way where we don't also sacrifice our witness, right? Where we don't also, and sometimes you might just have to take a little Holy Land sand with you into the spaces and places that you occupy. And rather than being there's a lot of flies in my house right now. I don't know why it's the fall or because we have the doors open all the time, but they're so annoying, right? They're just constantly flying around. And so, how do you not just be that annoying kind of fly gnat in somebody's business? But like, hey, I'm going to faithfully be in these spaces and places and honor Christ in the best way that I can. And sometimes you are forced into a position where it's like, I can't do this anymore.
Yep.
I think those are the rarity.
Yeah.
But there are those places, right? And sometimes you just have to say, hey, like, I don't agree with what's happening here, but I'm gonna carry my sand into this space, knowing that Spirit, you've got to help me to be a witness in that space that is winsome and points to a greater kingdom. You know, those things. So I think that again, the scriptures just give us so many examples of how we can operate as Christ ambassadors in this world.
Right. I think too, you know, wasn't asked, but a lot of these questions come from a place of like, I'm watching this unfold, or I have people in my life that are saying this or asking this of me or wondering why I'm not, you know, in agreement with them. And I have to remind myself too, it's not my job to convince somebody else. Mm-hmm. It's my job to just faithfully live in the spaces that I'm at and point people to this way. Like it's not my job to convince someone that the way that they're doing it is wrong. That's exhausting and frankly frustrating and anxiety inducing. And so just, you know, staying the course, pointing people in my life and then having compassionate conversations with people if those come up. But I can't sit down and convince someone that you know, that's the Holy Spirit's job. And I just, at the end of the day, have to remember that.
Yeah. The 2 Kings 5, it's Naaman and Elisha.
There you go.
So there you go.
Elisha.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know. I think one of the questions that often comes up in these kind of conversations with people is like, well, then how do we stand up for what is right?
Right.
Like, when do I stand up for like, this is wrong and we need to say something about that? And I would say, yes, the problem becomes when we are too intertwined with the system, we lose our prophetic voice. So you can, if you are too intertwined with a specific political party, you lose the ability to speak to the whole. Right. So it's our prophetic voice in that space to say, hey, this isn't right. Because if we're so entwined with a certain platform or party, then the only thing it sounds like is that platform party. It doesn't sound like a different kingdom.
Yeah.
And so we have to be, we have, if we want to do that, we have to be separate, right? We have to be distinct. And so the only way for us to recover the ability to be a prophetic voice in the culture to say, hey, the way we are going is not good, mm-hmm. Is to not allow ourselves to be so intertwined with a specific group of people or candidate or
right.
party or platform. And that's kind of the mess, frankly, yep. that we've got ourselves in right now, is Christians on a broad scale, evangelicals are losing their influence because on a, again, on a more broad scale, we have become so associated with a specific platform party, specifically, you know, Trump and the Republican Party at right. this stage, but it's been different throughout the generations. And so when we have a microphone, then it just sounds like that to yep. other people. And so we have to figure out how to reclaim our set apartness and herald a coming kingdom. And then we may get opportunity then to reclaim a prophetic voice in the culture. Interesting, again, you look at the prophets in the Old Testament, and they come out of Israel, right? They're their own people. And what does Israel do to the prophets?
Yep.
They kill them, right? Every single one of them is killed because they just can't, they cannot see the how they would be wrong.
Right.
I think the prophets in the scripture have so much to teach us right now of what it looks like to retain our prophetic voice, to be a separate people who live within.
Yeah.
And in that way, yeah, then we have opportunity to speak to what is true in a way that's heard. Yeah. And whether or not it's accepted or not.
Exactly.
Again, like the prophets, their message yeah. was rarely accepted. But that's, you know, if we want to have that prophetic voice, we have to come out of yeah. being so intertwined with the systems and structures.
Yep. Yep. That's a zinger. I think we both encourage you to go back and watch our series or listen to our series, More Excellent Way. And I think it's appropriate all the time to, mm-hmm. to be refreshed by it. But some of this we do unpack in that series as well. So go back and either listen or watch to A More Excellent Way. It calls us to kind of live in the homeless place of we don't belong mm-hmm. to any party, but our allegiance is to Christ. So good reminder there. Yeah. And thanks for the questions. Thanks for digging in with us and being challenged and letting us, you know, kind of pastorally pick some, you know, go some hard places mm-hmm. and push some buttons and just trust us with that. So we hope it stretched you a little bit, hope it encouraged you and kind of dug a little deeper with you. So
yeah. And we hope you wrestle. Like,
yeah.
I hope you can maybe hear like in our voices, like it's a wrestle. It's yeah. a constant tension that we try to manage in a space and especially in a country or a space that you love, right? And that has afforded us the ability to sit in a room like this and yeah. make a podcast or
right.
gather on Sunday. And so so if you feel tension, you should.
Yep. We do.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, as Crystal said, grateful that that we are a church that can wrestle with hard things and not feel like we have to come to some sort of clear, like,
yeah,
this is exactly what it looks like, and everybody should know what it is.
Right. Yeah. Well, we'll see you back next week for a new series.
New series starting this Sunday.
That's a wrap for today. Stay curious, and we'll see you next week.